Well, Ben, let's do it. Let's get it started, I guess.
Do we have to?
We do, unfortunately.
We do have to? All right, yeah. I guess we will.
Another,
not great.
Yeah, another bad loss that we get the displeasure of talking about. Jays lead 5-0 after two innings. They lose today in just over 3 hours that we'll never get back. It's not at all on one player, because it is largely never on one player in this sport, but these are just the kind of losses the team just can't afford to take in a stretch where they're supposed to be taking advantage of, you know, quote unquote, lesser teams, something you and I have discussed a lot. But boy, errors leading to four unearned runs, like the Jays failed to taking advantage of several big scoring opportunities, a number of bases loaded opportunities. And yes, Vladdy will certainly wear some, if not a large chunk of what happened tonight, but he also getting a lesser Yusei Kikuchi start in the thin mountain air, which featured a lot of walks from him, which is uncharacteristic of this season. A couple of walks from the bullpen and an 8-7 loss for the Blue Jays after leading by 5 runs early.
Yeah, I agree that the game is not on one player. Offensively, the game might have been on one player. I mean, at the end of the day, of the 9 starters today, 8 of them had hits. I am firmly a believer, even in Colorado, that if you score 7 runs, you should win the game.
Yeah.
And for that reason, almost alone, I do not solely put this, as we will soon find out the text line might, on Vladdy. And keep texting. We want to hear it. 590-590. But when you look at what is a weird offensive day for the Blue Jays, I mean, they did get at least something. I guess Vladdy walked, but they got at least something out of pretty much every guy, and not something out of the most heralded one.
That is Ben Shulman. I'm Sho Alley. Let's get it started. Welcome to Jays Talk on the Sportsnet Radio Network, streaming live on sportsnet.ca and on the Sportsnet app. We're taking your calls and text. Phone lines are open, 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. 590-590 is where you can text us. Name and location, please. That is the People's Text Line, which is always open. You can also tweet at us as well, I suppose, at SNS Alley with 2 L's, at Ben Shulman 7. Someone actually replied to the tweet I sent out right after the game ended, and it was from a Fly. I think he's like an Eagles fan, I want to say. But Fly texted in, tweeted in to say, "Not worth it, Alley. Just go home." So it's probably how a
you
lot
know,
of people
if,
feel.
If the bosses were cool? No. But yeah, I mean, I would imagine a lot of people were thinking about going to sleep maybe, and then the Blue Jays started doing what they were doing in the top of the 9th, and they were like, "Oh, well, I'll stay up," and then that happened.
There was a text actually that came in earlier.
There's
on the
so
text
many
line, and there are a lot of texts. And let me be,
which we appreciate.
Yeah, I love it. I really do. And let me be honest, a lot of them are about Vladimir Guerrero Jr. So we'll talk about Vladdy, but this one legitimately made me laugh in the midst of. I think this came shortly after the big double or I guess triple that cleared the bases, and the Blue Jays went down at the time 8-5. This is from Lindsay in Montreal, and I appreciate Lindsay because she texts a lot. But the text said, "Can't take this anymore. I'm changing channels to Shazam: Fury of the Gods." Unfortunately,
which is a terrible movie.
I gotta say, like yeah. if there's any one text that encapsulates how people feel, it is that Lindsay stopped watching the Blue Jays game to instead watch a truly terrible movie.
Sho, I'm turning off the game because Sharknado 2 is on.
It's probably a better movie.
Because Vacation Friends 2 just came out and I need to watch it.
Brutal. Just brutal. There was a guy holding up a sign on the TV broadcast that said, I think it said he came from Salmon Lake, BC. And on the sign, it said that he traveled 2,223 kilometers to get to Denver. I feel for that guy.
Like hopefully for the series.
Yes,
and,
yes.
You know, hopefully he was there yesterday.
Okay, if you're listening, sir, I am...
Salmon Lake, BC.
I'm sorry they
never heard of that
for you.
Whoa, that looks cool. Looks like a cool place.
Yeah, hey, you're right. I hope that he did come for the whole series, because at least he would have gotten to see a win yesterday, and you would hope a win tomorrow. But that's a really brutal, brutal way. And let's talk about Vladimir Guerrero Jr., all right? Because,
yeah.
Like I said, a lot of texts on the text line about it. Keith in Coquitlam: Blue Jays sucked, especially VG. Kevin in North York, I'm sick of Vladdy swinging at the first pitch and grounding into two double plays. You have 27 outs in the game. Vladdy is responsible for six of them tonight. Please get the ball in the air. Vlad, Jason in Scarborough, Schneider had no problem moving Bo down in the lineup last year. Why won't he with Vladdy now? He has gone from Mr. Plaketa to Mr. Rally Killer. There's another one. There's no name on this one, but the point is well taken. Every J in the starting lineup with at least a hit and either a run or a ribby, except Vladdy with zeros across the board. He grounds into two DPs. He is now off in the weakest link and is so frustrating to watch. He needs to be benched a few games or moved down in the batting order to send a strong message and hopefully light a fire under him. Chalk this loss up to Vladdy. We'll get to some more, but that I think kind of gets the point across.
I will say on the note, especially the text about moving Bichette down, I totally resonate with that. I do think the difference in situation last year was there with a combination of injuries right now and an offense that's obviously not performing at the rate the offense was last year. I think it was easier to do that. Like I just think there were more guys that you could slide into the top four. I mean, you're moving Vladdy down at this point. Alejandro Kirk is hitting cleanup for you. And I know he had a good four games coming into this one. And again, Vladdy certainly is the only guy who didn't have a hit today. Like Alejandro Kirk had an infield hit today. I'm not sure. And he rocked a ball to center that got caught, but like, it wasn't like his hit was incredible. Nor was Ernie Clements, to be fair, which was also an infield hit. So I don't know that they necessarily, I mean, I guess when it's not a left-handed hitter or pitcher, pardon me.
Right.
You could have Brandon Belt in the top four. You could hit Vladdy five. But, like, do you want Alejandro Kirk hitting ahead of Vladdy? I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
So I think it's as much about what's going on around him as what Vladdy's doing that could be keeping him in this spot.
I'm not saying
he was good today. I mean, he certainly wasn't.
I just am sick of talking about Vladdy.
I'm like honestly, emotionally drained.
That's what it is. Okay? and you see a lot of these people on the text line, and I appreciate the text. Again, keep them coming. 590-590. We'll go to the phones in a second. But like Tina in London, can Vladdy not even put one in the air? You know,
I mean, valid. Bases loaded, one out. Just need a fly ball.
Yeah. Travis in Belleville. Why is he still hitting third or fourth, which you talked about? I thought he had four very non-competitive ABs, including the two double plays in big spots. He looks uninterested. You know, Tony from Kitchener, who texts in often, which we appreciate, but Tony, bring up a good point. To be honest, this loss on Vladdy with two DP with men on, he can't do anything. He also had a chance to bring Davis home, and he couldn't do that. Yet the error he made cost the team. If he isn't contributing with the bat, he should make sure his defense is stellar. Four unearned runs. Kikuchi was not sharp, but the defense behind him was terrible. I personally put it was a diggable.
It wasn't an error, by the way. The error is Ernie Clements. Yes. If you bounce a throw, you get.
And that's
the
thing. I think that spot specifically is more on Ernie Clement than it is on Vladdy. Having said that, it's still a play most first basemen I think make. So
yeah.
I understand
and this
why
is the Gold Glover last year.
Exactly. So I understand why Vladdy is supposedly would wear that a little bit. And I agree, he probably should. But boy, it's just like if not for the injuries, and I think that's probably the only thing right now that's keeping me from really committing to this. If not for the injuries, I actually wouldn't mind seeing him just sit for a game, not to send him some kind of lesson, not to teach him, learn him something good. Right. I think more just to give him maybe a mental reset, because like if we all know he is struggling, he is undoubtedly having an underwhelming, disappointing season. He is. There's no two ways to look at it. But if we know that, like you and I know that, and if all the listeners and the texters know that, you believe he knows it, right? Like,
for sure he knows
so
it.
So if that's the case, I wouldn't mind seeing him get sat just to have a little bit of a mental reset, not because as a punishment necessarily, but just to take a little bit of a breather. But the problem is with Bo and Chapman and now Danny Jansen all on the IL, I'm not sure you can really afford to do that, even if Spencer Horwitz has been hitting the cover off the baseball in the minors.
Yeah, I mean, the five guys on the Blue Jays bench are Heinemann, Horwitz, not today, but like Espinal a lot of days, McCoy, Biggio. I'm not sure, you know, none of those guys are having a better year than him, even in his down season. I'm not sure that those guys are doing more. I don't think that you're more likely to win if you play Kevin Biggio at first base every day.
Right.
So that's part of the issue with what's been going on with this team is they are reliant on him being even as good as he was last year, which was a down year. But it's not happened. And at the same time, they gave up. They scored 7 runs and lost.
416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. Hassan in New York. Hassan, welcome to Jays Talk. What's on your mind?
Hi, how are you guys doing?
Could be better.
I'll try to keep it as short as possible. I wanted to talk about 2 topics regarding this game. Overall, in general, pitching has been great, no doubt. But obviously, sometimes pitching is going to fail, and the offense has to build them out. And the offense struggle isn't just Vladdy alone. Like, even Springer didn't really click, and other guys. I know we're all tired of talking about Vladdy, but I just don't understand the people that still defend as if, you know, he's putting up some great year. Like, I had a conversation with somebody in a Facebook group, and he was saying that he has a 1,000-something OPS with 2 outs and 1 in scoring position. And I've been following the Jays since 2010. And even, like, 2021 when Vladdy had that year. Okay, some of the games, yeah, he had to go ahead hit and everything, but honestly, I just lack this guy doesn't have that clutch factor in him. Because I've seen it again and again, not just this year, even in the past. When the game is on the line, this guy can't come through. You know, it just doesn't make any sense. And the thing is, listen, overall, like, I just want to say one more thing. This team season, going to the World Series, isn't about Vladdy alone. This is about the Toronto Blue Jays. Okay, and I feel as if we as Toronto fans tend to resonate the whole team to just one player and make it seem as if he's the one, that's all that there is that exists, right? I don't know why they're still babysitting him. They're still babysitting him. It's been 5 months we've been hearing he'll get better. Why not put him in the 7-hole, 8-hole? I understand the injuries talk he just had been, but I think there is still options. Schneider can hit 3rd, in my opinion. But I don't know, man. It's like he doesn't try. And also his defense is taking a big hit.
Like, hey, Hassan, I appreciate the call. I'm not cutting you off. I just want to get to some more callers. But the point is well taken. So a couple things from Hassan's discussion there. I do think a lot of the focus goes on Vladimir Guerrero Jr., especially now, but overall because he was viewed as a generational prospect and he has not been a generational.
He's a 3 or 4 hitter. I mean,
yeah, and you want your cleanup, your guy hits 3 or guy who hits cleanup to perform like a major league guy who hits 3 or 4 consistently, and he's not done that this season. But like, look, let's be real. He's not going to hit 7th or 8th. That's not going to happen.
Well, and you could say, okay, Schneider hits 3. Okay, well, then who hits 2? Like, yeah. Is Alejandro Kirk hitting 2? You know, like, it's again, I'm not even saying it's about Vladdy. Who are you sliding up?
That's the thing. And like, I don't think people would be all that more chuffed to see Kirk or Varsho or any of these guys hit above Vladdy.
Like, no, I mean, Varsho's been hitting well recently, but I still don't know if that's enough to put him in the top 4.
Oh boy, it's been a rough year for Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Absolutely, and again, I'm not against like him being benched for a game. And again, it's not for me about a punishment because I don't really think that kind of stuff. Personally, I don't really think that works for anyone. Honestly, I don't really think it matters. I put 0 stock in Bo turning his season around late last year because he was batting 7th. I think it's because Bo is a talented hitter and he turned it around because he worked on things that needed to get turned around. And maybe Vladdy just needs a bit of a reset. He does look sometimes disinterested. He was perhaps the victim of some bad umpiring tonight, but that's certainly not the reason why things turned out the way they did for him. But it's a lot of things, not just one thing.
Yeah. And at least for me, I'm not as in on like the unengaged or disinterested, just because even if you sit and believe Vladimir Guerrero Jr., and I'm not saying this to be clear, do not aggregate this, please. If you sit and believe Vladimir Guerrero Jr. doesn't care about if the Blue Jays win or lose, he is going up for his first free agent contract after next year.
Right.
There are hundreds of millions of dollars on the line. And yes, you're telling me right now through the other side of the radio that his dad made a lot of money. Well, he doesn't want to live in his dad's house. So he has, and even for next year in arbitration, he has, even if he didn't care about the Blue Jays, which I personally believe he does, there is so much money on the line. Like, I just think he's not performing. I don't think it has to do with how much he cares about it or not. I just think he's making poor swing decisions and hitting the ball on the ground and not attacking the right pitches. Like, there's beyond what's going on with the Blue Jays, so much financial stock in what he's doing. The next contract he gets is going to be so affected by what goes on, what happened last year, what goes on this year and next year.
416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. Brian joining us from right here in Toronto. Brian, welcome to JSTOC. What's on your mind?
Hey, gents. I agree with a ton of stuff that you guys are saying. You know, I don't want to Vladdy bash, and I'm not smart enough to say where he should hit in the lineup. It just seems that, you know, every situation he gets in, he hits into a double play. And, you know, like tonight, the evidence is there. I'm not saying he's a bad hitter and that's the end of his career or anything, but, there's a lot of greatness there. And then I think there's still a lot of runway. There's something wrong with him this year. There's something mentally. So you said it, like he needs a reset or something's going on. I mean, I don't know what Schneider or anybody else can do to kind of shake up the lineup and keep him in it. But like, where do you put him if you need to get that reset?
Really appreciate the call, Brian. And yeah, I think it's really interesting. I'm if everyone's healthy, or if you win the game today and you've won the series, I think it's a lot easier to rest him tomorrow. And maybe they rest him tomorrow anyway, because he's coming off a tough game. It's a day game after a night game. You didn't play Brandon Belt today, so you can play Brandon Belt at first. Mm-hmm. You could, you know, maybe give Springer a DH day, throw someone like Biggio in the outfield. But I don't know what they do. Like, Hassan earlier, like, he is right just by the nature of baseball. The whole season is not on Vladimir Guerrero.
Sure.
However, a large portion of what the Blue Jays do and don't do is on the guy who's supposed to be their leading run producer. And to a certain extent, at least for now, they need him to be better. And I'm not sure whether it's going to happen or not. And the evidence would lean that it probably won't this year.
Amir from Woodbridge texts this in to say, hear me out. Bo got somewhat of an extension, has been hitting like we expect from Bo. Vladdy did not get an extension worked out, which makes me believe he thinks he's worth more. Now I feel he is pressing to prove he is worth more, and that spiraled out of control and is feeling the burden of both his contract and the team's struggle. Again, that's from Amir and Woodbridge. And again, like, there's no way for anyone to know. Not like there's no way for even like the most insidery insiders to know what's going on.
I mean, who
on
even knows? Like, Vlad's agent might not.
Yeah,
know.
Like,
it's just Vlad.
It's knows. Only he knows, yeah. inside of his head. But it's like, again, I do think there is something to Bo having gotten a little bit of like financial security, even though, you know, he's going to make a bazillion dollars at some point.
And it was just to cover his arbitration, which he was going to be a Blue Jay for.
Exactly. So, and again, maybe that same process does happen for Vladdy, but he, like, there is, like, I agree with the callers. Like, something is up mentally, which is why I do feel like I wouldn't mind seeing somewhat of a mental reset. Let's hear a little bit from what John Schneider had to say. He is speaking to the media right now. And of course, he was asked about the struggles for Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and those missed opportunities. Let's hear what he had to say.
Yeah, I mean, first inning, you know, I think two strike changeup, I believe it was, double play. Then we kind of, take off from there. Great first inning, second inning with a homer from KK. It just comes down to pitch selection. You know, he wants to do something in big spots, I think. And, you know, you get a couple regulars out of the lineup. You know, it's just, it still comes down to swinging at the right pitch. And, he's going to try to get you to hit the ball on the ground there with something down in the zone. So, just not being in a rush in those at-bats. That was kind of the turning point, I think. I think it was 5-2 at that point, a chance to add on. I think it just comes down to pitch selection for Vlad.
How do you think Vlad is doing mentally at this point?
He's fine. Yeah, he's fine. You know, it's September and everyone's grinding, and we know, you know, how important every game is. You know, he's totally fine.
That is John Schneider speaking to the media. I mean, like, I guess I didn't expect him to come out and say, yeah, he's really having a tough time mentally. Like, yeah, no manager's ever going to say that.
No.
But at the same time, I don't know. Like, it is somewhat tough sometimes. Like, to kind of take what he's saying at his word, if only because it's not like this is a recent slump. Like, he is, by and large, after starting the year off like kind of on a hot streak, he has largely been like a just slightly above average player, and recently he hasn't even been that, unfortunately.
Yeah, if you're a believer in OPS plus, which takes on base plus slugging and tries to like equalize it for park factors, right, and league averages, so that it, you know, takes in some of the other stuff that can factor into how a guy's hitting, this is his worst season since his rookie year.
416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. Let's take one more caller before we hit our first break. Ryan joining us from Hamilton. Ryan, what's on your mind? Welcome to JStock.
So a few, just a few things. So yeah. The first is, what are we now? We're 8 games into this stretch here between what, Cleveland, Washington, and Colorado. We're what, 4-4?
Yes.
So where did you guys think that we would be at this point?
Definitely more like 6-2, maybe 5-3, maybe.
Yeah. So if we think, so if the Jays do not make the playoffs this year, do you think the front office has to take, obviously it's on the players, right? But they need two RBI guys in the middle of the order that they don't have right now. Like, you know, if you look at all the people that we're putting in the 3-4 spots, like, I understand Vladdy's, you know, he's 480 RBIs this year?
Yeah.
So we need two other guys that can drive in runs, because we don't have those people that can hit with runners in scoring position. Even Belt, what is he, an 850 OPS, but his RBIs are really low, right?
Yeah, I think some of that has to do with the struggles of Springer in front of him for a lot of the year. You know, he's been hitting two, but yeah, he you know, only has 38 RBIs.
And when you're bringing in Belt, you know, that's your originally when you're bringing in Belt, you're thinking he's going to be our DH, right? And what DH are you thinking is going to have 38 RBIs at this point in September?
You're not expecting it. And I will say, Brandon Belt, you know, kind of sneaky, but hitting .206 only with runners in scoring position. Numbers actually far worse than Guerrero.
It feels like you get a lot of home runs from Belt, and solo home runs, and not a lot else.
Yeah.
Is this team needs two RBI guys next year. But if you know, obviously they went for defense this year, but at the end of the day, if they don't make the playoffs this year, they need to make some changes in the front office, and they need some people that can drive in runs. That is the most important thing. It's painful to watch this team day in and day out not perform with runners in scoring position. When you watch these teams, like, I mean, how can you go 4-4 against these three teams?
Yeah, you're not wrong, Ryan. I appreciate the call. Thanks for joining us on Jays Talk. He's not wrong.
This is
a part of the schedule that you are, in theory, supposed to take advantage of. And I know you can say, like, in a vacuum, any team wins in any given night, which is factually correct. But
yeah,
this team, and there's a text here from Peter in Woodstock. Vlad is the easy scapegoat. Loss largely on the starting pitching and on the big errors tonight, which, again, is true.
I mean, frankly, we probably have not spent enough time.
And we will get to that, because I do want to talk about, certainly you say Kikuchi and what was behind him tonight. We'll get to that on the other side of the break. But it is, like, you expect more from the Blue Jays, given the people on this roster, even guys like Ernie Clement and Spencer Horwitz and the rest of these guys who have been recently called up, Espinal and so on, who actually played pretty well tonight. But but generally speaking, like, yes, Ryan's right. You should be taking advantage of this stretch more than they have been, 4-4 in the last 8 games.
Yeah, no, they certainly should. I do think it's worth noting the Blue Jays did go 4-10 with runners in scoring position today, which is actually pretty good. They obviously hit into those double plays, which are killer. Like, there's no way around that. And I'll check it soon and at least have it on the other side. But they actually have moved into kind of a middle of the pack runners in scoring position team in Major League Baseball, if I'm not mistaken. I actually think, and it's not as big of a deal in this game, but, like, again, like one of the callers earlier, don't want to completely turn this into like a Vladdy Pinata show, but, you know, 20 home runs is also not acceptable. Like, is he going to go through this series at Coors Field and not hit a homer?
Yeah.
That would not be great.
No, I agree. It's a lot of it does fall on Vladimir Guerrero Jr., but certainly not all of it. Let's take a quick break, Ben. And when we come back, we will certainly chat about Yusei Kikuchi, chat about those errors. Again, errors leading to four unearned runs for Kikuchi in this ballgame, who only went 4 2/3. A lot still to come. We're here until the top of the hour. You're listening to Jay's Talk, Show and Ben on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
I don't think so. I mean, I think people make too much of it when they come here, and it gets in their head a little bit. It's, you know, you're here for 3 days and you get out, so you got to do what you got to do. I just think he didn't have his command really. You know, walks hurt him. We didn't play particularly sound defense, which is, you know, what we've been doing all year. So I think if you just look at that between the walks, defense definitely had our chances to add on and take the lead late. But I don't think that plays into it too much.
That is John Schneider speaking to the media about the start of Yusei Kikuchi and whether or not the thin Denver air did affect any of his pitches today. But of course, Schneider does not put any stock into that based on what we had just heard. Yusei Kikuchi only going 4 2/3 today, 6 runs, 2 of which were earned. We'll chat to all things Yusei Kikuchi in a couple of minutes. Welcome back to Jay's Talk, of course. Show and Ben with you. We've been told we can stay a little longer, Ben. We can take
your
calls.
Why not?
Take your texts. Let it all out about what we saw and heard tonight.
No one's going to sleep tonight anyway. No,
exactly. Exactly. But before we do that, before we go back to the text line, before we go back to the phones, let's go to the Major League Standings Watch presented by Bet365. With Bet365, you can bet on things like player props, totals, or game outcomes across many different sports. 19+, play responsibly, Ontario only. Well, the, I suppose, positive news out of tonight, and I know people accuse me of being unflinchingly positive sometimes about this ball club, which maybe,
you know,
I am.
Makes you good to hang out with. I like people who are positive.
Does that mean you're not? You're less positive?
I'm kind of medium.
Okay, fair. That's fair. Well, it's certainly a glass half full view on what went on tonight in Denver, but because you don't get any ground on the Mariners, who did win tonight. They won 8-7. The Astros, however, did lose. They lost to the Yankees 5-4. And the Rangers, it did take extras, but the Twins winning the series against the Rangers, they're going to aim for a sweep tomorrow. But the Twins did beat the Rangers today 9-7 after trailing 4-1 very early on in this ballgame. So because the Rangers lost and because the Astros lost, even though the Mariners did win to separate themselves a teensy bit more from the rest of their AL West compatriots, the Blue Jays actually did not lose any ground, at the very least, on either the Astros or Rangers. They came in today a game and a half back of the final wildcard spot. After a loss, they are still a game and a half back of the final wildcard spot. So in the wildcard race, the Rays, who did lose to the Guardians today as well, they lost 7-6 in extras. Rays are 82-54. The Astros, with their loss to the Yankees, 77-60. The Texas Rangers, with their loss to the Twins, are 75-60. So again, Jays 74-62. Again, a game and a half back. Again, is it glass half full looking at the way everything went on tonight? Yes, but they did get some luck and some help on that out of town scoreboard.
Yeah, it's a missed opportunity, but it's obviously better that everyone else lost than if they won. Like, it wouldn't be good for it to go the other way. So, you know, for the Blue Jays, at a minimum, they can, you know, if they win the series against the Rockies, they'll still be at a minimum a game and a half back. And in the grand scheme, that certainly still gives them a chance to get in, but would have been a lot nicer if they were half a game back and yes, a game and a half back of the Astros, but it is what it is. And at least I will say on the note of Seattle, who's storming away, because the Blue Jays have already lost the tiebreaker to Seattle, you can essentially add another game that they're back of, sure, them. If they tied, yeah, they would be behind the Mariners. So maybe this is super glass half full. This is like glass three quarters full.
Yeah.
Better to chase the Astros than the Rangers, I guess, or Astros and Rangers than the Mariners.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know,
I guess at least and this is going to be big no matter, I mean, regardless of what happens in the Blue Jays Rangers series next week, not this coming week, but the following week, no matter what happens in that series, and you do have to win the majority of those games in order for the end of the season to be even more meaningful. But the Mariners and the Rangers play each other a lot to end the season. Yep. Like, it's something like they play each other 7 times, and the season's last like 10 or 11 games or something like that. So,
yeah, it's like the Blue Jays where they play divisional opponents right. The last bit. They get Texas 2 out of 3 series. And just speaking of tiebreakers, because I brought it up, the Blue Jays do have the tiebreaker on the Astros. Mm-hmm. And the tiebreaker on Texas is yet to be decided. They're down 2 games to 1. It's head-to-head record against each other. So if the Blue Jays were to win 3 out of 4 against the Rangers, they'd gain the tiebreaker. Anything else, the Rangers would have the tiebreaker on the Blue Jays.
That's a quick check of the Major League Standings Watch presented by Bet365. I want to go back to the text line real quick. I see a couple here that lead into what I want to talk about with you, Ben. Ryan from Victoria, that was a good old-fashioned team loss. Not great pitching, errors, and lack of offense. Vladdy only responsible for 1/9 of the offense. It's from Ryan. And Jesse and Simcoe, I blame this one on the manager. Is this Rubinoff? I have no idea. Maybe it is. I don't know if he lives in Simcoe.
I don't think so.
But Jesse says, I blame this one on the manager. Starting pitching was struggling. Should have been pulled earlier. Garcia has not been strong lately. Was the wrong choice. We scored 7 runs. Still couldn't get the win. Don't get me wrong. The inherited runs... the statistic for Jimmy Garcia and those positive inherited runners stats or whatever, taking a real beating over the last couple of games. Last night,
yep.
And certainly tonight as well. He walks the first guy he sees after inheriting 2 runners. He allows a 3-run triple to Doyle and an RBI single to, I think it was Charlie Blackmon immediately after. So yeah, not great. Don't get me wrong, for Jimmy Garcia. I'm as big a Jimmy Garcia booster as you'll find, and not great for Jimmy after a pretty good last three, four, five weeks.
Yeah.
And so I think he does take somewhat of a step back, perhaps out of the circle of trust.
Yeah, I mean, that's on me. I mentioned before the game that his ERA had dropped below 4. He's back up at 4.02 after those 2 earned runs. I mean, he had, you know, posted. I looked all the way back from June until last night, the start of June. He had posted an ERA below 2 in that time. That doesn't factor in inherited runners. So that's a whole different situation. I do think the note on whether Kikuchi should have gone back out for the 5th is fairly valid. Like, we were legitimately discussing it mm-hmm. during the game.
Yeah.
Are you going to send him back out? Because the first couple innings had been so much trouble and the errors hurt. And I do think that that's a big part of it too. And the Blue Jays continue to miss their starters on the left side of the infield with a much improved defensive Bo Bichette this year. But Chris LaRue mentioned it too. Like, in one of the innings, there's an error, but then a 4-pitch walk.
Yeah.
Like, and the earned runs don't go against Kikuchi because he had recorded 2 outs after an error comes in. But he walked 4 guys tonight. And that's the stuff that got him in trouble last year. Yeah. And, you know, I'm not going to referendum and say he's the guy he was last year. He's having by far a better season. But he hadn't walked 4 guys in a game since May 30th. You're not going to win the majority of your starts when you walk 4 guys, and you really shouldn't against a bottom offense in baseball, but bottom 10.
Yeah, 4 2/3, pardon me, 6 runs, 2 of which were earned, 6 strikeouts, the 4 walks, as you're discussing, over 100 pitches thrown. And it kind of seemed like he was like somewhat reticent to throw the fastball as much as we have gotten used to him seeing, which is kind of strange, right? Given that he had entered the game, when he entered the game for the first time, he had already been staked to a 4-0 lead. And we've seen him be so successful with the fastball that it was somewhat odd for him to struggle with command and also with the pitch selection. Like, you threw this out to me during the game, and I do genuinely wonder, despite what Schneider said, how much it was a factor today. But he wasn't locating well with the fastball, and he threw it less overall than he usually does. And I kind of wonder how much of it was him just not wanting to throw the fastball, because he does give up a decent amount, even if in his good starts, of loud and hard contact off the fastball, even if they are caught for outs. Maybe a perfect storm of catcher change from Jansen to Kirk, environment with pitching in Coors Field, not wanting to throw the fastball for hard and loud contact in an environment where balls really travel, pitch selection, like a lot of things probably coming all together. But it is, I think, his worst start from since the All-Star break, certainly, and one of his worst starts of the season. But like, it's kind of crazy, because you and I talked about this in the pregame show. Had we gotten past the idea of saying, well, 5 innings and 3 earned runs from Kikuchi, or 3 earned runs or less from Kikuchi, and you take that, and I think we have generally gotten past that, but the way he looked today did make me feel like the Jays were somewhat lucky to only get out of there with 4 2/3 and the 2 earned runs.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, like one of the texters mentioned, you know, as tough of a day as Vladdy had, if you say coming into the day, and no pun intended there with the you say, that Kikuchi is on the mound and the Blue Jays are going to score 7 runs, you assume they're going to win the game.
Right.
Like, Yusei Kikuchi is going to win that game 9 times out of 10 this year, even, maybe even more than that. But he was wild. He threw 54 strikes and 100 pitches. And his fastball, you know, a lot of his other pitches, he tries to throw for balls, the curveball, the slider. You want to make guys think it's a strike. But his fastball hit the zone today less than 50% of the time. And I think more often than not, he is trying to throw that fastball for strikes. I mean, sometimes on 2 strikes, he's going to elevate or go outside with it. But I think he is trying to throw it far more than 50% for strikes. And it didn't happen today. And then obviously Jimmy was not good today. And it's tough for the Blue Jays. That's 2 days in a row where their relievers come in the middle innings and blow a lead. And it is tough to come back from that. You know, I think that the Blue Jays could have still done more offensively, even with 7 runs. But I don't know how many games you win when you blow a lead in like the 5th or 6th or later. I just don't think it happens all that often.
Yeah, you can't. I know Coors Field is a offense friendly ballpark, but I mean, for all the talk about defense and pitching being a hallmark of this team, they gave up 9 runs. And I know 4 of those runs came off of a Chad Green who was effectively still coming off a TJ surgery. So you take that with a grain of salt, but still they count all the same. You gave up 9 runs to the Rockies yesterday and 8 runs today. That has got to be 2 of the higher overall totals over 2 games the Blue Jays have had based in back-to-back games, maybe all season, because you're not used to that, especially from the 2023 version when you talk about pitching and defense. And I, you know what, as much as we're kind of crapping a little bit on the pitching that we saw today, I do want to give at least one positive mention to Yenesis Cabrera, because he gives up a monster 3-run bomb yesterday for his first earned runs as a Blue Jay. And then tonight, leadoff double against the very top of the Rockies order and Charlie Blackmon. You kind of think, oh boy, this is going to unravel real quick. And then even with runners on 1st and 3rd, he doesn't allow a run to score. So a nice, again, it's something that matters a lot less, which we have to acknowledge after an unfortunate loss, an 8-7 loss for the Jays. But that is a nice bounce back outing for a guy who has been largely good as a Blue Jay all season and then gives up a monster shot. So, I think the Blue Jays do often try and get guys like get right innings. And that was perhaps a good show of faith in someone like Cabrera, because he's been largely good as the only other lefty other than Meza all season.
Yeah, I mean, he's got about a half ERA as a Blue Jay, and his overall season has turned around a lot since being a Blue Jay. So it was nice to see him come in and succeed. And also for Jay Jackson, who had a couple of up and down appearances before he went to Buffalo and then came back, it is good to see that bounce back and an overall level. I went to look, so it's 18 runs allowed or 17 runs allowed for the Blue Jays in the last 2 days.
Right.
So they did have, and I'm not totally going to count this one, July 31st, August 1st, they gave up 17 in 2 games, but that's all on one game where they gave up 13 to the Orioles. Like, they just gave up 4 the day before. So if you want to look for 2 really rough ones in a row, it was 2 games I was calling, Sunday, June 18th and Monday, June 19th, when they blew a 5 or 6-0 lead to the Rangers and lost 11-7, and then went to Miami and lost 11-0 in the first one of that series. And at the time, I remember, felt like about the most demoralizing loss they had had.
The 11-0 loss.
Yeah, you know,
I was sitting next to you for that one. So
maybe
we're the common denominator.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to go look at my record later. I it might be my fault.
I don't think so. It's on the baby people who swing the bats.
Yeah.
Let's go back to the phones. 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. We got a couple of minutes left here. Let's get to some more calls. Frank joining us from Blue Mountain. Frank, thank you for holding and for your patience. Welcome to JSTOC.
Oh, thanks for taking my call, guys. I'm not going to bash Vladdy, but I'd like to see Schneider do a couple of things with him. He's got to stop the nonsense with the water after the games, like he's always the character in the clubhouse. They got to settle him down and get him to grow up fast. And unfortunately, now we've got 3 starters injured, so the lineup is discombobulated. But I would order him not to swing at the first pitch. I mean, after a batter gets walked, a batter gets hit, and he's up there swinging at the first pitch, he's not the brightest guy in the room.
Hey, I appreciate the call, man. Thanks for joining us on JSTOC. I will not pretend to know Vladdy's IQ quotient here, his IQ, which Q stands for quotient. So maybe my IQ is a little
intelligence
lower.
Intelligence quotient, right?
That's what it stands for. Yeah. Mr. Mensa over here. But, I with Vladimir Guerrero Jr., I will say him swinging at the first pitch, Ben, and he has actually largely been successful over the breadth of the entire season. He has been successful swinging at the first pitch.
Well, yeah.
Having said that, I would like to see him take a couple more pitches. I've said this multiple times, both by myself and to you, but boy, like it just, especially in situations where he comes up and a guy hits a batter and he walked the guy prior and then Vladdy hacks the first pitch and it ends up a fly out or a ground out into a double play. That does frustrate me because, again, he's a better hitter than that, I would like to think, even if he hasn't shown it for the large majority of this season. I get it, but if you're going to hear that and think, roll your eyes a little bit. But boy, I just sometimes it would behoove him, and I've said this about Springer, especially in that 0 for 35 rut, but it would behoove him to just take some more pitches sometimes, especially when the guy is struggling.
Yeah, I think that there's like a fine line to it, because I think in the situation that you just mentioned, absolutely. And right. It's a breaking ball on the outer edge. It's not a pitch that you're going to do a lot of damage with. It's a pitch that the pitcher executed well and is put in a spot to hit ground balls. At the same time, the guy's hitting in the 260s and hitting over 400 on the first pitch. So
yeah,
all the time, I'm not sure that I don't want him to swing at the first pitch. But situationally, and especially in that situation,
yeah,
I would agree that definitely some patience is necessary because, yeah, don't bail a guy out. Like, this is not, you know, Madison Bumgarner or Clayton Kershaw, or I know I'm bringing up kind of old names now, but, you know, this isn't Blake Snell.
Old.
Yeah. Yeah. Quote unquote old. Not like the dominant guys of today, at least. But, this isn't a Cy Young candidate. This is a guy they pulled out of the bullpen a month and a half ago. Maybe let him pitch himself into trouble. So I do agree that he needs to not make that swing decision in that situation. Who knows? He could still end up hitting a ground ball. But yeah, when someone walks a guy and then hits a guy, even if your job is to come up with hits in these positions, maybe take the first one.
Yeah, like you look at the names that Rockies threw out today, Ty Block, Gavin Hollowell, Matt Koch, Justin Lawrence, and Tyler Kinley. And I mean, none of these guys are world beaters here, especially Block. Like, I'm not saying this to crap on Block by any means. It's just
he didn't pitch well today.
He didn't. He had more walks than he had strikeouts today.
And like, he gave up five runs.
When guys are struggling, make them work for it a little bit more. And I feel like we don't see, and that's not something that only Vladdy does. I find like some of the other guys do that often. We are seeing it less from George Springer, which is obviously good because you need more from Springer. You're seeing it less from other guys in the order as well. Even Bo does it a little bit less, although Bo is particularly sometimes guilty of swinging at the first pitch, especially when there are two outs. But he's always been a very aggressive hitter, and so is Vladdy. But it's just, you got to make these guys work for it just a teensy bit more, because if you've already seen a guy walk a guy and hit a batter, the chances of him not executing well against the next guy, in this case Vladdy, are probably pretty high, I would think.
Yeah, and I mean, at the end of the day, I don't want to make it all about this number, but in 2021, which is obviously his most successful year, Vladdy chased a little under a quarter of the time on pitches outside of the zone. That was 69th percentile, very good. And then he chased over 30% of the time last year and is doing the same this year, which is in the bottom half of the league, and that's going to affect how well you hit for power, how much you walk, everything.
Let's squeeze in one more call before we say goodbye. Sean joining us from Edmonton. Sean, thank you for holding. What's on your mind? Welcome to JSTOC.
Hey, guys. Thanks a lot for taking my call. Just want to say you both do a great job, so thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Absolutely, guys. I got a teaser for you. I got the solution for Vladdy, but I'll save that for the end of this. I got one question for you guys, and I've been a huge supporter of John Schneider since the beginning. I like a lot of the things he was doing at the start, but a lot of these decisions he's making now are frustrating at the very least. Tonight was an 8-7 loss, so you can't just hang it on Vladdy, a full team loss. Obviously, Kikuchi didn't pitch well. He doesn't replace him in the fifth. Like you guys have said, you chatted about it. I don't know how you let him go that deep when he's struggling that obviously, and you've got the bullpen that is arguably the best in baseball. The other night, he doesn't pitch run for Kirk. Says in his press conference that it's because you don't do that when you're still down two runs. twice in the year already. He's made that decision where he pinch ran for Kirk when they were down by two runs or more. And lastly tonight, he pinch hits for two guys that were 3 for 6 in Clement when he gets pinch hit for Biggio, and for Santiago Espinal, who Belt came in and hit, who was 2 for 3. Why would you do that? Because now in the ninth, when you've got bases loaded, two outs, you're now pinch hitting for McCoy with essentially another rookie. And I don't understand how little mistakes, coaching errors like this, lead to game losses like this. And I actually put it on that, not a guy like Vladdy going 0-5 or 0-4 or whatever it was. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, thanks so much for the call. I think, you know, when you look at the pinch hit decisions, I don't mind pinch hitting for Clement, I'll say. Who you want to use in that spot, up to you. You know, while they were 3 for 6, Ernie Clement rolled the ball about 8 feet away from home plate. That's a lucky hit. Like, there's no way around that. So I don't mind that. I do see the justification, though, for why not save Belt for the ninth. They brought him up in a spot where there's a runner on first, there's one out, and you know, he almost hit a single, but if Belt hits a home run, you're still losing at that point. So I do agree there that I think that there's a point to holding Brandon Belt back.
Brandon Belt has largely been very good for the Blue Jays, but a lot of different decisions factoring into why the Blue Jays did lose 8-7 tonight.
Just a lot.
It's just, yeah. We could probably talk for another hour on what went on tonight, but it has been a bit of a roller coaster. A lot of peaks and valleys for the Blue Jays, unfortunately, a valley tonight. Thank you for listening to Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by Crown Rust Protection. New and used vehicle prices are rising and inventory is scarce. Avoid the hassle of buying prematurely by making your vehicle last longer with Crown Rust Protection. For a special fall offer on Rust Protection, visit crown.com today. For Ben Shulman, Ben Wagner, Chris LaRue, Tom Young, Nick Blackmore, I'm Sho Ali. Thanks for being with us on Jays Talk. We're back to wrap up the series tomorrow. We'll talk to you then.